Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Romans. We've been studying Romans, and last week while we stopped there for just a little while, we began chapter number 5 and talked about there about how it kind of kicks off with therefore. Amen. And anytime it's therefore, we had to go back and review a little bit, but we did that last week, right? And so if we do too much review, we won't ever go forward, but we did spend a little bit of time in going with what we're here, we saw last week, and really spent the bulk of our time in tribulations, and tribulation worketh patience. And nobody ever asked for patience, right? Except for doctors. Man, I tell you, some of you were slow on that one tonight. Romans chapter number 5 here. We'll kind of begin at the beginning of the chapter and read. We didn't get down too far, but we did realize that patience worked experience, and experience hope. And so a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of jobs that we do in this life that people want us to have experience. Had a young man ask me tonight just before the service if he could get some work. And I said, well, if we hire you to work, right? If we hire you to work, what do you expect them to do? Work. Yes. Amen. And then he said, I don't know how to do much. I said, that's all right. I don't expect to be hiring you from the neck up. I'm hiring you from the neck down. Right? That's what Brother Pouch used to always say. He'd call them neck downs around here. Amen. And I said, and if you keep your eyes and your ears open, everything while you're a neck down, sometimes you'll be a neck up. Amen. And the sad fact is, that's one of the things. Sometimes if you think about back in some of those early jobs, you had tribulation. Amen. And you had to have patience because sometimes the boss was screaming at you, why didn't you do it right? Right? Why didn't you do it the way I told you to do it? Amen? Why don't you do it faster? Amen. And you had to have patience. Amen? How about experience? So many times, some of those things, if we just, again, focus on it, boy, what experience we get in some of those early days. I think about all the things that I should have learned that I don't know now that I wish I'd watched a little closer when my dad was doing those things. When he said, just hold your hand right here instead of just thinking about what I was 100 miles away and just held on to the thing my dad told me to hold on. And I could have, instead of getting knowledge that this is what I was supposed to hold, I could have gained the wisdom and understanding of what my dad was doing and why I was holding it. And so many times, even in the ministry and where we're at, we miss so many good things because we don't ever think about wanting to understand from the neck up what's going on. We just are worried about being a neck down and being there. And both of them are needed. Anywhere you've ever worked, anywhere you've ever been, you needed both. Amen. But there should be a progression and a growth, not only in the world with the work, normal work setting, but in the church house as well. We ought to want to grow. Amen. In that area. We're going to pray tonight and then we'll dive in wide open. And that was not the message, but I hope you got something from it tonight. Amen. I hope you gained some hope because what you did get was tribulation, patience, and experience. And it should have given you hope that someday I won't always be a neck down. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you for your word and how it's perfect, Lord. I thank you for how you've given us just a great book, Lord, to study here in the book of Romans, Lord, and how, Lord, you just lay out so many tremendous truths, Lord, through the book. And I pray tonight that you'd help us to be able to just, Lord, take something home that we can apply to our own lives and make us better for you, Lord. Help us to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say quickly, before we begin, one of the persons I forgot to mention, I wrote it at the top, but I got on to our voucher issue. Brother McBride, I got a message today about Brother McBride, and he did, he had all that, and he still, his voice is still a little scratchy, but they did get the test back from the cyst, and there was no cancer. Amen. Amen. And so he believed that at the beginning. He knew that it was not the type of cyst it was. It typically is not cancerous, but it could be. And so praise the Lord that it was not. Amen. And so thank you for your prayers there. Continue to pray for his voice that will get fully back to being able to preach and sing. Amen. In verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will not review much, but the foundation of that, that's telling us, therefore, the entire chapter that we previously came through in chapter 4 was laying out a foundation of justification by faith for Abraham, all right?
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that we have peace with God not because of our works, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ, His Son, came and did for us, and He made peace for us. Amen. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access, this same faith that gives us peace, that same faith gives us access to boldly go before the throne of grace. That same faith that we enter into at salvation tears down some walls that peace of God that we've gotten. It allows us to go boldly before the throne of grace. But when we think about it, we go through the person we put our faith in. All right? So we understand it gives us access. We are coupled. We're put in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has fellowship with the Father. Therefore, I have fellowship with the Father. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you have fellowship with the Father, and we have access to Him through the person we are in. And it says, access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We often don't talk about the grace, but we were given justification, but grace itself is so much more than just being justified. Grace is something that is given day by day, and oftentimes it is mistaken for mercy, but grace is so much more than just having mercy. God, mercy is almost kind of a little bit of, it's mercy and almost pity. But God doesn't pity His children. God has grace. He does pity us if we were to continue to go in error. And even some of the things we talked about before the message or the study tonight, we realize that we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's coming a day that no matter what level I attained on this earth, there will be a day that I will be made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. I will know as I am known, and that will be, what a day that will be. But at that day, I will fully know who I was and the shortcomings that I had. When I can know what I could have been on this side of heaven, that's not going to be a great day for me. Because I had access. Because I had the Word of God. I had the mind of Christ laid to print. I could have stored it up. I could have stacked it up. I could have accessed it. Too many times we don't think about this, but again, today was one of those things. I had something we were doing with the Christian school. Why does it always seem like it's with the Christian school? Anyway, I'm just going to move on from there. Anyway, so I keep spirit right. Anyway, so when, you know, going into this thing, you know, I'll just say this, preacher, I don't know. I mean, I got to say thank you to you because I'm not at my home church. But I had to go back when I was the youth pastor and go to my youth pastor when I became a youth pastor and go, I didn't realize what you did for me. Amen. And, you know, having been a child that grew up in Christian school, I didn't realize what my preacher went through for me on a daily basis. I didn't realize how he fought. I didn't realize how he battled. I didn't realize how many people came after him on a daily basis, not in the Christian school, but just the cares of everything. Families, think about this. If you truly met our mission statement of assisting the Christian home with raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, do you understand the burden on the pastor and the staff to assist? Not you are one family and you are working on yours, and we are trying to work with all of them that have come into the building. We're trying to assist you and to come alongside and pull with you and to help that. I think sometimes we miss that, and we don't put it in perspective the way it is. And all those things, I mean, sometimes for us, I think, like I said, for a preacher, man, I think on the other side of it now, I look back at the men that served and the knucklehead I was when I was in school. And I think about the grace and the mercy they dealt with me with. How gracious and how loving they were in my life. And I didn't realize, and that wasn't the only thing they were doing. That was just one of them. And as we go through this, we all put ourselves in that place, but boy, we can rejoice in hope.
Do you know it don't matter how much you put on yourself or how busy you get or how much tribulation there is always a place of rejoicing. You're going to rejoice in tribulation because of the access that I have with God. We started all this with access in this scripture, and I thought about, man, the Christian school, man, this guy called me today and was like, he didn't have access to the thing that he needed. And we think about, we live in such a I need it today society. Just open it. We used to have, I'll put that in the mail, and you had a couple weeks to breathe. Now it's whoop, and the phone makes a small noise, and they have it. And then by the time you barely had time to send it, they've read it, and they're back on top of you, wanting you to answer something else. And we live in that day and age, and we expect for everyone to move at that same place, and we have no grace. When we ought to realize that the greatest thing in the world is that all this time before there ever was a computer, and sometimes the computer still, we have access to all this worldly knowledge when all along we could put the stupid computer and the phone down and have access to God. Amen. All along before the devil ever came up with all these devices that we think connect us and make us so much better, all along, the internet connection to God through Jesus Christ was always hooked up, and it's the only one that's ever been absolutely pure, sinless, a straight connection with God, and we have access to Him. And listen, we ought to, and we preach on it all the time, and tonight I'm supposed to be doing a Bible study, but I'm feeling like preaching right now. And I just want to tell you tonight, sometimes in our lives, we need to disconnect from the other things that are going on and some of these things of the world and take access with God. Our Bible study in the morning, our devotion ought to be connecting, disconnect and connect. Get connected with God. Make sure there's access with Him. You know, I mean, back in the day, I'm old enough that I still remember the AOL, right? And the dial-up. I mean, you know, sandwich-making dial-up, where you went in there and clicked on what you wanted to do, and it started going, ooh, ooh. And that wasn't like, you know, an Old West movie, like, whoa, whoa, you know, like that. It was just, it started doing all these things, and I was like, okay, I can go make a sandwich now. And then after it did its little noise, it started going do-do-do-do-do-do-do because it was dialing. That's why we call it dial-up for all you guys that were, you know, way back in the day, right? All right, and so the computer was doing the dialing, and it wasn't like this because that's what I started out doing with the rotary phone, right? It was just pushing the buttons, and I could hear, and listen, it would dial up, and then it would get connected, right? And it'd say I had mail. It would tell me. You got mail. Like I didn't know. That's why I'm getting on. But still, I needed help. And then I would get access, and then I'd open the page. Do you remember how five forevers it would take to get one picture to come up on that thing? Can you imagine these teenagers? I would love for one day to slow everything down to the world to when that moment of time, and they're looking at their phone and that TikTok video is going, you know, and it would take it almost 2 hours to get a full picture of it on the screen. It would take it 2 hours to erase itself. But yet everything is so fast and so accessible today. We forget that we have access to God in Jesus Christ. We have access into His Word. We have access in everything that. And so we go through this and we wonder why we spent so much time. And why? Because we spend so much time in all these other places that are accessible to us today. And we don't spend time with God. Why we have so much tribulation? Why we have to have so much patience? We cover so much more ground. You know, when I grew up on the farm, and you guys know what I'm talking about. Maybe if we had somebody come by that day, that's the only person I had to talk to, the only person that could have rubbed me raw, the only person that could have bothered me at all. I'm just telling you, we live we not only communicate with people that come by us, but people that send us text messages, emails. Can you imagine the amount of communication that goes on in one day that would just happened in this building with people? And how much patience it takes to deal with that many people. Compared to the past.
because they have access to you. And we wonder, this is one of the things, and I don't know why people haven't preached on it before, maybe somebody has, but do you know when we talk about, in the past, we used to talk about putting up fences in our kids' lives to protect them from things. But really, the process is to restrict access to my children. To restrict access for my children from the thing that I don't want them to have part in. And we live in a day and age where parents in this room, if I told them, you know, there are some things that you don't need, your phone, your kid don't need a phone. Because they don't need access to these things. And so many times that's met with such animosity. When if your child doesn't on a daily basis have access with God, have they really earned the right to have access to the world? If they don't know how to get in touch with Him, why are we going to let them get in touch with the world? Now, that'll preach every day. But the blessing of it is even when we get ourselves into tribulation, and tribulation works patience, we learn experience, and we have hope. You say, how is it? Well, you know, when you go through the tribulation period of somebody sending the wrong picture, looking at the wrong thing, and that happens into your own home, that should breed patience in the parent and understanding. And again, realizing I have access to Jesus Christ, and there should be some grace. I should measure me as a parent. Was I stupid? As well as my kid stupid? Did the apple just fall from the same tree? The two of us were stupid together because I thought they could handle it, and I was stupid to think that? And then learn experience from that? And what would the natural thing happen if this happened? What should we do? Stop doing that. We'd learn experience. But what the problem is, we go back to tribulation. And we lose our patience. And we don't gain experience because we lost our patience and lost our minds. And we get to a place with our children where we have no hope, or we feel like we don't. Because we won't learn from our mistakes. We won't do the hard thing that needs to be done. Parents should say no much more than they say yes. You don't have to teach a child to lie. He will lie. You have to teach him to tell the truth. I have had the experience. My parents beat the truth out of me. You say you got beat, whooped, spanked. I don't know. I don't care what you want to call it, all right? Amen. My dad used to say when there was a bunch of us lined up, I'm going to warm up on you. And that was me. I was the starting block. He wanted to come out hot and fast. You say, that's just child abuse. No. That was somebody that had experience. Amen. That wanted to have hope. And what I was going to turn out to be. And we don't think about the paddle as putting things in. But my dad used to, I remember my dad saying, I'm beating some of these bad ideas out of you. You know, all along he was putting in good sense in me. I ain't never going to do that again. That was what was coming in while the other stuff was going out. This was not worth it. And you say, how in the world did you get spanking out of here? I don't know. That's what God told me to say. Amen? Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that I do what the Bible says to spank my child. I'm not ashamed of that. I've not been ashamed in the grocery store. I had a lady, I told you before, that gave me a good hard look one time and said, I mean, she just turned her nose up at me and thought, I mean, like I'm sitting there, you know how it is. That child was small enough. If I waited till we got in the car, he would not know what was happening. Dad just snatched me up and beat me right here. But in the store, he knew I told him not to grab nothing else off the shelf. And while he had it in his hand from the shelf, I snatched him up. and went to spanking and said no. And the lady gave me this nasty look like I was doing something evil. And I looked at her and I said, it looked like you need some more of this. She didn't stay on the aisle with me, because she probably knew she did. But you know, a lot of times we can measure some things that way, and people that don't have those experiences, and we see how they act. And if you don't have those experiences as a child, one of the hardest things for you is to make in this crazy world that tells us how to raise our kids exactly against what the Bible says. That's wrong, that you don't need to do that. Folks, I'm just telling you, Bible is always, when we talk about religious liberties, that is just being able to practice the Bible the way the Bible says it. Amen. Even though this crazy world does not respect it, that is the issue. I want you to leave me alone and let me practice the Word of God. That is religious liberty in a nutshell. And here, a hope maketh not ashamed. It gives a colon and a break. I'm sorry, a semicolon and a break in the thought here, but it doesn't change the focus. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Here it says, someone that is going, and I'm not just talking about spanking, but access and punishment and living right and leading your family the way according to the Word of God, not just when they need spanking, but all the way through. You know, when you get to the phones, folks, and I know that we give them to them in this age sooner than we ever should, when they, you know, they can't even, sometimes you still got to open the car door to get them in. But we live in an age where too many times we miss this. It's I hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. The reason I know to do right wasn't because it was born in me. It was born again into me. The born again believer that I am when I got saved, because God loved me. I had no sense to know this for myself, just like the rest of the crazy world. I had no access to God, or no access to truth. I had no way to know the things that I ought to know. I had no way for tribulation to work experience in my life, and through patience and then hope. I had no way for that until God loved me enough to send his son to die on Calvary and redeem me back into himself. And then loved me so much that he did not want to leave me comfortless. He sent a piece of himself to dwell within me. The Holy Spirit of God living and working and drawing the Word of God. Even when I maybe only heard it preached once, and I don't know everything about the book, but I've heard some preaching about it, and the Holy Spirit will draw to my remembrance what I ought to be doing, or what I ought to look into, or who I ought to follow in the way I lead my family. He says here, hope maketh not ashamed. You know, so many times I've watched people, even when they practice the Bible, soul winning, raising their kids right, I can go down the list. Sometimes they live a defeated Christian life without hope, outside of hope, because they're not trying to practice the Bible all the way, just the pieces they want. And they get to a place where they're ashamed. And the worst thing in the world is to be that parent that is going to spank their kid, but is acting like they're trying to hide around the side corner of the truck, because I'm ashamed of what I'm doing. Yeah. Folks, I don't have to be ashamed. We started this whole thing off and everybody said, amen. Right. That is your child. Not the person standing next to you's kid. It ain't nobody else's kid around there. That is the child that God blessed me with. And I know what he needs, because he is full of my DNA. And that DNA is full of sin. And I know what he needs, because I needed the same thing. And when I gave my parents tribulation, it worked their patience. And they gave me experience, and I had hope. And we come to this place where I don't know why we're so ashamed of doing what God says. When we go soul winning, we're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the best thing that ever happened to us. We'll go up and say, you don't want to get saved, do you?
You wouldn't want me to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to spend eternity in heaven. You wouldn't want that, would you? And be ashamed about it. And then surprised when they go, I'd love to know that. When we just follow the commands of the Word of God, why are we going out of shame? We ought to, just the way we have access in heaven, every one of us realize that we with full access will boldly walk into the throne of grace. We ought to boldly walk up to people and tell them about Jesus. We ought to boldly obey immediately, not just in action, but in correction with our children and everywhere we are. Not like a crazy man screaming at your kids across the room. I never wanted to be that way. I believe my kids ought to listen. And I got guilty of people thinking my kids were dogs. You know, and you say, what do you mean? This is what my family did. I didn't want to scream at my kids. I didn't think it was a good Christian testimony. They'd be over there, and I taught all my kids, sat down, and I said, listen, Dad's going to whistle. And if I whistle, I want you to stop wherever you are, and I want you to turn around and look and see where I am. And I said, if you're running and you hear a whistle, I want you to stop. If you're running out somewhere, I want to stop. I'm not going to scream at you because I want you to hear me. I could go into a McDonald's and that playroom and that thing be crazy and my kids be all up in them tubes. And other crazy parents calling their kids out of there and climbing up after them because they wouldn't come out. Screaming at their kid at the top of their lungs. And I'd walk in that place because I wasn't surely was not going to sit in there and eat. I don't know what kind of crazy people do that. I was in the restaurant. And when I wanted my kids and the food was there, I'd walk in there and go, and poop, 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 they'd be coming out of that chute, running to the table. Playtime is over. It's time to eat. And they line up and eat. Why? Because I taught them what I expected of them, and then I expected it. And if they knew if they didn't come out that tube, there wasn't going to be no hollering. There was going to be correction. Most children in the classroom and in your home, they expect, listen, they know you love them when you correct them. You care enough about them to tell them, right, this is what you're supposed to do. Now, let me just bring you, all of you that just think I told a lie. Because you immediately, after you correct, you get rebuked, right? Or they get mad with you. That is the natural response of the sinful man. But when you correct, and you correct, and you are consistent, you will teach them, this is who they are. They expect this of me. If you have a child in your classroom or in your home, you know their first job is to try you. That's what they do. They're a sinful little person. And so I know you said I couldn't have a cookie, but I want a cookie. So I'm going to eat one when you ain't looking. And when you catch them doing it, what do? You know how my mom did? She didn't beat me the first time. I didn't get no more cookies. And when I realized that more cookies would come along if I didn't steal them, that I would have free access to the cookies when it was time, I stopped stealing one cookie and I ate six after dinner. And you know, if you would simply teach your young people in your classroom, in your home, that this is not something I'm trying to stop you from having, which is usually spelled with three letters and it starts with an F and it ends with an N and it's fun. That you're not trying to be a killjoy, but fun can come once we've done the work. Fun can come once we've had what we're here to do. If you explain and teach that in their lives and be consistent, you know what? They will love you for it. But oftentimes, most homes, most classrooms, instead of practicing God's way, they don't know who you are day by day. They want to know whether you can. What teacher showed up today? The one that loves God? The one that didn't get enough sleep? The one that forgot to get flowers for his wife? Or the wife that didn't get flowers? You know, we need to be consistent. As a teacher, as a parent, our kids are dependent on it. One of the things that I always, and I've talked much, Grandparents' Day was just in the past, but One of the things I held so great about my grandparents, my grandparents were so consistent in their walk with God. They were consistent in their love for God. They were consistent in their love for me. But they weren't going to put up with me acting like a fool either. As grandparents, they would immediately correct me. Now, they didn't hit me in the head like my mom did every once in a while on the way by when I did something. They would protect my head and say, "Don't hit him in the head." Right? But you know, it would break my heart when my grandfather, who always said kind words and always did right, would stop me and say things like, "Don't grow up to be like that." It'd cut me to the quick. And I'd start to evaluate, what in the world did I just do? Because I don't ever want to do that again. Because I love him, and he don't ever say anything corrective to me, and he just corrected me. But you know, long before I did that, he didn't have to correct. He wasn't with me all the time. You know, and when Grandpa wouldn't take you fishing because of something you did, that was bad. You never want to do that again. No, boy, we ain't going today. We're going to go home. And I thought, man, I'd rather take a licking and go on fishing. There's all different ways of being taught and learning. But the Bible tells us again that he shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us in verse 5. Verse 6 is for when we were yet sinners. When we were yet sinners. This idea, think of that. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you know, as a parent, you can measure that week by week. As God, as the Father in heaven, and sent his Son to die for us, you know, he knew all along we were without strength. He knew that we'd never build up strength enough. And he sent his Son to die for us. But as a parent, and for us, you know, there are some times that when I was a boy, I remember my dad, you know, there were things my dad never would have asked me to do because he knew I didn't have strength to do it. But I was the oldest child, and I'm head and shoulders taller than my father. And there came a day in his life, he stopped picking stuff up that was heavy. And he said, "Boy, pick that up." Because when I was young, my dad would tote everything and me. But then there came a day where strength was put in me. And he'd ask me to carry my own weight. Do you know, in the Christian life, we don't often put all those things together. But there was a time that I was completely without strength. I had no access to God. I couldn't tote my own weight. I couldn't do anything for God because I needed God to do everything for me. And he did it. He came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid my way and gave me strength. Gave me a power that I didn't have before in the Holy Spirit of God. And now he expects me as a Christian to carry some weight. He expects things out of me that he never expected out of me before. And we can never expect out of the world because they don't have power. They're without strength. They can't make good decisions because they don't know who God is and they don't have any strength to make good decisions. They first need to come to him and have access to the power. To have access to the power of God and his family. And he says here, "For when we were out strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You may have found your way in this place tonight and not know who Jesus is, but Jesus came and died for you. He paid for your sins on Calvary and rose again to live eternally as our Lord and Savior. And if you would just simply put your faith and trust in him, he commended his love toward us that while you and I were yet sinners, while we were yet without strength, he came and had strength when I could have none. He came and had the strength to not only lay his life down, but to take it up again. To be an example of the believer and the first fruits of God's children. Hey, folks, I don't know about you tonight, but as a Christian, it gets me excited when I realize that my faith is as strong as God himself. That God took something that was without strength and put strength in him so that he could be used for God's glory. Not his own glory, but God's own glory.
And if you're here today and you don't have Christ as your Savior, don't go another day. Don't go back out into tribulation. Don't say, I'm going to just patiently wait for a more convenient time. Step out and experience the love of God firsthand by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and receive the hope that can only be found in Him. Tonight I laid out a foundation that you could believe by, but for you as a family, it's one you could practice and have success and find hope. As a believer, it builds to a place where I remember I was without strength and now I have strength. Amen. And now I ought to get to work. I ought to carry my own weight. Some of you have been carrying it a long time. And the work of God has changed for you. It's changed into a prayer warrior, whatever it is. We don't have to think that we got to carry that same weight. But I'm telling you right now, and I don't always lift this man up, but D.L. Moody always attributed his success not to himself, his preaching, or to any of the singing, but to some sweet ladies that continually prayed on his behalf. And he said, because of their prayers, the power of God is on the message of God. And God does what He will because of the prayers of the saints. Folks, this bill is in our legislature. It won't be won by anybody's slick tongue and argument. It'll be happen on the knees of the saints praying. But they also need to hear our voice. God, we have access to Him. We need to go boldly before Him and ask above all that we could ever ask or think in this voucher. There are people that think I'm crazy about what I think God could give us in this voucher program. But I have a God who has great strength. Amen. And He can do above all I could ever ask or think for Him to do. Yeah. To protect His church and to bring Himself glory. And I want to see Him do it, not only in the legislature, but in your life and in my life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, He can do it tonight in you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? We're going to have an invitation tonight. Maybe you're here and you need to accept Christ as your Savior. Why don't you step out? This is an old-fashioned invitation. As the musicians come, I'll step out and I'll meet you in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're a Christian, you've been coming for a while, but you need to join this local church. Why don't you step out and come and join the church tonight? The church is here together. We'd love to have you as members. If you need to be baptized, the water in the baptismal pool is warm. You can picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by getting in there. I'll meet you in the front as Brother Bert sings. You come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is for you. Let today be the day of salvation for you. Come down this old-fashioned aisle and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that in eternity, you'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done for you. If you're here and you need to join this good church, why don't you step out and come? If you need to be baptized, why don't you come and do business with God? Whatever He's spoken to you about tonight, you can do that. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. turning back. No turning back.
All right. We're going to let you be seated tonight. I think we have something to share with you.